Would you turn your Bibles to Colossians chapter 3, please? By way of reminder, God has a wonderful plan for our words that is far better than any plan we could come up with on our own. Sin has radically altered God's agenda for our words, resulting in much hurt, confusion, and chaos. We're going to be talking about forgiveness tonight, and that's because many times we hurt people with our words. In Christ, we find the grace that provides all we need to speak as God intended us to speak, and the Bible teaches us to get from where we are to where God wants us to be. So we've been kind of working our way through this kind of process as far as conflict resolution. We must first understand that we are here to glorify God, and so that touches down at every point in our lives, specifically as we communicate throughout the day. And then many times we need to really take an evaluation of our own self and where our faults are and failures in regards to communication, and really do some soul searching, and then follow through with submission to the Lord as to what needs to change in our own lives. Then we can move to the gently restore section, which is the part that is difficult many times, but the part that God can really use in our lives if we're at a place where we're humbly just acknowledging our own sin, but then willing to, even as we talked a little bit about this morning, just speaking truth into other people's lives. And so we can help others who are struggling and in a place where they need encouragement from the truth of God's word, but we must do it carefully. And so we walked through this whole process with the word encourage, kind of an acrostic there, that we need to examine our own heart, note our calling, that this is something that it's really from the Lord, that God uses us in each other's lives. We consider our own attitude. We humbly admit where we were wrong. We use our words wisely, reflect on the scripture, and we go into it with an ability to listen and willingness to listen, and then we let the Lord work. We grant time for response. We don't, want to take matters in our own hands, but we speak truth and then let God work, and then encourage with the gospel where everything actually can change and everything in our communication can be better because we have been freed from our sin. And so it is possible by the work of the Spirit to actually communicate in a way that pleases the Lord. So that's gently restore. And then the last one that we looked at is go and be reconciled. And that's the part where we'll continue tonight, where we really want to move to the process of full reconciliation, which is part of it is forgiveness. And that's very, very difficult. And as I said last Sunday evening, there probably would be things that happened in this group, if you were here last Sunday night, where the conflict would come up, things would be done, people would be hurt. And I don't know what that was for you over the last few days, but I know it happens. And it happens to many of us, if not all of us, at different times. And so we have to constantly be willing to forgive and willing to let go. And that's very difficult, but if we're dependent on the Spirit, it actually can happen in our lives. So forgiveness for us, as we look at this last portion here, we're not going to totally end the communication series, but just the conflict side of it, we'll finish up with probably one or two other Sunday nights about just communication in general and how we can glorify God through our communication. But as far as the conflict resolution, I think this is probably where we'll finish up. But forgiveness lays the groundwork for and begins the process of reconciliation. And that's where we want to constantly be heading. We want to make sure that the conflict that comes up in our lives, that we can be reconciled with the person. The gospel gives us that peace with God. We talked about that last week. And then the gospel enables us to have peace with others. So this is actually possible. You can forgive. If you're a child of God, you can forgive. You can see reconciliation in your life and in the relationships that you have. As well, we have the idea, those who have been forgiven by Christ must also be ready to grant forgiveness to others who ask. And this is the hard part. When people ask, and sometimes even if they don't ask, you need to be willing to forgive. Colossians chapter 3, if you would turn there, Colossians chapter 3, and we're going to look at verse 12. It says, "So as those who have been chosen of God, holy and beloved, put on a heart of compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience, bearing with one another, forgiving each other, whoever has a complaint against anyone, just as the Lord forgave you, so also should you. And beyond all these things, put on love, which is the perfect bond of unity." So there are some parts in that text that you must understand. It says that we are to bear with one another, and we are to forgive one another, and whoever you have a complaint against. And notice the word whoever. That kind of includes everybody. Whoever you have a complaint against, just as the Lord forgave you, so also should you. What does that mean? It means that you do not have the right to hold on to something or a hurt in any way, no matter who it is who has hurt you. You do not have the right, as a Christian, as a child of God, who has experienced the love of God, which comes with it, forgiveness. If you have experienced that, you cannot hold on to your hurt. God is calling you to forgive. And I know that's very, very difficult. And I know that there's plenty of hurt to go around, right? And I'm sure that all of us have maybe one person, maybe two, three, maybe us. You know, maybe we have a hard time with people in general, and you've got a whole list of people that come to mind. I don't know. But whether it's one person or 20 people, you are called to forgive, period. This doesn't leave really any room for exceptions. But for so many times for us, we like to claim exceptions that really we shouldn't and that are not in the scripture. The painful reality of life is that everyone will get hurt. What are occasions for forgiveness? Husband and wife, you have a spouse that forgets or ignores things that really matter to you. A spouse who priorities have not been the same page as yours. Maybe a spouse who has betrayed you. Someone who has been a former spouse and then the person who lured your spouse away. Parents with divorce situations. Children that rebel. I was thinking that so many times we are called, if you have children, you are called to forgive your children. Over and over and over. And I think that little part in the scripture where Jesus said, yes, 70 times 7. I think that was for parents. Because many times our children sin against us over and over and over again. And the reality is we sin against them over and over and over. So forgiveness has to flow in a family. It just has to. If it's going to be a healthy family, it has to be continual forgiveness that flows because there's continual sin. And so we are called to do that. There's other occasions with siblings, brothers or sisters, family members squabble over mom and dad's belongings, holiday gatherings. You know, sometimes, a group of family members get together and everything is a little strained because of the years of relationships and the hurts that are there. And sometimes things are very superficial. Why? Because hurts are not dealt with properly. They're not really given to the Lord and forgiveness really shown to those people. Authority at work. People, many times, employers make you feel undervalued or marginalized. Sometimes it's in a church where pastors hurt people, and many times people, their trust is broken. I visited someone in the hospital this week, and they shared with me a story of how they were hurt probably 20-some years ago in this church, and have not been in church since then, as far as I know. And it was a lot of things involved, but there was a hurt there. And so I apologized to that person, and I said, I'm so sorry that happened to you. And we have to continually own our faults and own the places in our lives where we make mistakes. Whatever the occasion is, and as it, no matter where it has left you, whether in great turmoil or it's just one of those things you've just tried to put out of your mind, we must strive to forgive no matter the situation. And that is the way that we can glorify God. The outcome of our lives is not determined by what happens to us, but how we respond to what happens to us. So many times in life, we claim the victim card. And God has situations, He brings situations into our lives. He allows hurts. And sometimes they're very, very deep. But He wants us to respond to those, and that's really the important point. How we respond to the hurts really is a way that we will either glorify God or we won't. And I know it's difficult. And even as I look around the room and I have had conversations with some of you and after I was at Keystone for 10 years, I could literally, I knew everyone well enough where I knew their story and I knew the pain they've experienced and I knew the hardship that they went through. And so it was, I have great compassion when I say these things. But you must understand, God wants you to forgive people, no matter what you've been through. So don't take your hurt lightly. I do sympathize with you, but I do know that God's will for your life is if you will obey Him in this area, you can have freedom from the resentment and the bitterness, and you can glorify God in your everyday life, even in your communication. But when we refuse to forgive, we become bitter. I don't know if you've studied that idea of bitterness before, but the word there literally means to prick or to cut. And it can refer to a sharp object, a pointed object, or even a bitter taste, a sharp taste. And so bitterness is that poison that can destroy our spiritual life. And it makes the person then very, very sour and really venomous. And these events that God allows into our lives are for a purpose. And if we will just allow Him to accomplish the things that He wants to, instead of harboring the bitterness, then He can do great things in our lives. All right, I want us to talk a little bit about forgiveness as far as what the Bible says in forgiveness. So would you turn to Jeremiah chapter 31, 34. And I just want the truth, as we look up these verses tonight, I would just want God's truth to renew our minds. Probably not giving you anything that you have not heard before, but I do know that we all need the truth to saturate our minds on a regular basis to keep us heading the right direction. And many times we forget. And so in verse 34, they will not teach again each man his neighbor and each man his brother, saying, "Know the Lord, for they will all know me, from the least of them to the greatest of them, declares the Lord. For I will forgive their iniquity, and their sin I will remember no more." Let's do another one. Psalm 103, please. Psalm 103. We could do the old sword drills. First one to get it. Verse 12, "As far as the east is from the west, so far He removed our transgressions from us." Let's look at another, Psalm 130. Over a few psalms, Psalm 130, verses 3 and 4. "If you, Lord, should mark iniquities, O Lord, who can stand? But there is forgiveness with you, that you may be feared." Matthew chapter 6, verses 14 and 15. This gets a little more personal here. "For if you forgive others for their transgressions, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others, then your heavenly Father will not forgive your transgressions." As well, 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Let's look at verses 4 and 5 there. "Love is patient, love is kind, it's not jealous, love does not brag, it's not arrogant, it does not act unbecoming, it does not seek its own, is not provoked, does not take into account a wrong suffered. And then as well, Ephesians 4:32, be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving each other, just as God in Christ also has forgiven you. And then Matthew chapter 18, we won't read the whole thing, 21 there. Then Peter came and said to him, Lord, how often shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Up to seven times? Jesus said to him, I do not say to you up to seven times, but up to 70 times seven. And then look down at the end in verse 35. My heavenly Father will also do the same to you if each of you does not forgive his brother from your heart. So there is a wonderful fact in Scripture that we have just looked at, is that our God forgives us. And he forgives us completely as far as the east is from the west. And he does not remember our sins. And that idea there, we'll talk about in a minute there, he doesn't actually forget, but he doesn't hold them to our account. And if our God did, there wouldn't be anyone who could stand, the one text said. Who could stand? No one. But our God forgives. And because it's his heart, he requires his children to imitate him. Scripture says, be imitators of God, put on love. And the heart of God is that he is loving and kind and he forgives. And so therefore, we must do the same. We must be kind, tender-hearted, forgiving one another. If we want forgiveness from our God, we must grant forgiveness to other people. This is not an option. And it doesn't matter how many times, if the same hurt happens over and over and over and over again, you're still called, according to Matthew chapter 18, because he wasn't putting an exact number on it when he said 70 times 7. He was just making the point, it just doesn't stop. So it doesn't matter how much you have been hurt, or if it is still coming, you still are required to forgive. Those who have been forgiven by Christ must grant forgiveness to others. This is part of the Christian life. To understand what forgiveness means, we look at our God who is a forgiving God. And so when we get this attitude inside of our hearts and we hold on to it where we're just going to choose not to forgive the person and we'll just, you know, let that little compartment or that little relationship stay in a place where you're going to kind of hold them in a place where we've talked about last week where you play the role of a debt collector and you're going to make them pay. That's not the role of a believer. It's not the heart of God, and it's not the heart that God wants for his children. So forgiveness is not a feeling, okay? Can we just get past what our hearts want to believe and what many times people will say outside? Forgiveness is not a feeling. You may say, I don't feel like forgiving that person. Well, there's nothing in the Bible that says anything about feeling as far as forgiveness is concerned, or having feelings or forgiving feelings toward one another. If you're waiting for a feeling, that probably will never happen, and therefore you will probably never grant forgiveness. So you cannot trust your heart as far as your emotions are concerned. You cannot trust that in any situation that God is calling you to forgive. Forgiveness, it's something that is very active, and it's a choice of the will. But many times we act as if it can be a feeling. And then we make excuses in our lives why we're not granting it. And we don't have any kind of scriptural base for it at all. And therefore, we're not glorifying God. It's just not happening. So it is not a feeling. It is not forgetting. Scripture tells us, you know, that when we talk about forgiveness, our God is an all-knowing God. It's impossible for him not to remember our sin, right? And so when it says that he will remember our sins no more, he is not bringing them up to our account. He is not holding them against us. And you know as well as I do, we remember the hurt. There are very few things in life that as you go through that are so acute And one of those is hurt. I mean, you probably remember elementary, junior high, maybe high school years. You can remember that person. Today they call it bullying, and back then, you know, I don't know what we called it, but you probably can remember that person who said very unkind things to you or did things that were really hurtful to you. You probably can remember them, no matter how old you are, you probably can remember them in this very moment. And then, you know, move to other points of life, siblings, parents, spouses, children, the list goes on and on, employers, pastors, you know, the more people you bring into your life, the more hurt that comes because there's more sin around, right? So, and all those things, they're areas where you can try to put them out of your mind, but you're not going to forget them. So if you're waiting till the day when you forget about the hurt, that's not going to happen either. So you can't use that as, well, I'll forgive when I can really get over it in my mind. That is not going to happen. So it's not a feeling, it's not forgetting, and it really, it's something where we cannot excuse any part of it. Forgiveness is not excusing. The very fact that forgiveness is necessary indicates that something did happen, something happened that was wrong. And we cannot excuse their sin, the other person's hurt, and what they did to us. We can't use what their problem is to then excuse our own problem in our own heart, no matter how hard it is, no matter what it is. So what is forgiveness? Forgiveness is really it's declaring that you are canceling the debt. It's what God did for us, right? It's really making a decision in our hearts. It's an act of the will. It's a commitment, right, that I am not going to dwell on this incident. And when we forgive, we literally eliminate it. We clear the record. We treat it as the sin never occurred. Now, the only way you can do that is if this is a choice of the will, because your mind replays over and over and over and over. Your heart will never feel like letting this go. But with the Spirit's help, you can make a choice to forgive them, to let the hurt go. Give it over to the Lord and eliminate in your heart really clear the record. That's what forgiveness is. You still remember that it happened, but it's a commitment not to dwell on the incident, no matter what it is, no matter who it was in your life or currently who it is in your life. And this is a process, but you have to continually renew your mind. And I realize that sometimes people think of forgiveness as a one-time thing, but I guess just from my own experience, just thinking about the practical ramifications, forgiveness, you have to constantly just renew your mind that you're not going to dwell on it, that you have let the sin go, you have forgiven the person, you've made a commitment that you're not going to hold them responsible, you're going to clear their record. And sometimes it's all kinds of things that can trigger. You can be driving along and a memory will come back, And it'll feel like you were like right there, like it just happened. And it could have been decades ago. But that feeling of that I don't know how to describe it, where you feel like you're in knots again when you're not gonna let, it's a commitment to not meditate on the sin and the hurt because you have let it go and you're continuing to let it go. You're not going to hold the person responsible anymore. Forgiveness is a commitment that you will not bring it up to this incident, the incident again, and use it against the person. You're not going to a commitment that I will not. I'm just reading this, make sure it's written right. A commitment that I will not bring up this incident again and use it against you. So there's this commitment of the heart where when you say you let it go, like it actually happened, and you're serious about that. And I know it's hard, especially let's take the marriage relationship. and the laundry list that many times is accumulated over the hurts and the bad communication or the things that were missed or expectations that were not met, right? And then what typically happens is in the conflict where there was that one little thing that kind of pushed you over the edge, and therefore what happens, the whole laundry list comes out. Now, those things may have been dealt with earlier, and forgiveness may have been granted earlier. And so there's this commitment when we forgive someone where we're not going to bring it up again. It's over and it's gone. And that goes against every part of us because we want justice and we want things to be fair, but we have to mirror the heart of God when God says it's gone. Literally, we have let it go. And he doesn't bring up our sin against us anymore. Can you imagine what it'd be like to live the Christian life and have a relationship with a God that every morning you have to go back and confess every sin that you've ever committed against him? Where it's this constant confession, I did this, and then, oh yeah, remember I did this, and please forgive me. No, our God doesn't do that to us. He forgives us freely, and he doesn't hold it against us. And so therefore, we must mirror that. We have to be committed in our heart. That's why these are commitments. Forgiveness is a commitment that I will not talk to others about this incident. Now, I realize there's situations where you have counselors involved and different things like that, but there's a lot of really bad communication that happens with people who are talking about, you know, the hurt in their lives. And so we can kind of justify, and yet we shouldn't. We should not talk about the way people have hurt us unless it's appropriate and right. And there are a few occasions where that can be. But other than that, you should not be talking about the hurt that other people did to you. But that's difficult to do. It's difficult to live out because, again, we want justice. And so sometimes we feel better about ourselves when we're talking about what others have done to us. And really, we feel better as we communicate, but that doesn't mean that that communication has actually glorified God. So it's a commitment where we will not talk to others about the incident, and forgiveness is a commitment that I will not let this incident stand between the person, whoever it is, and really hinder that personal relationship. So think about the person in your mind who it is the hardest for you to forgive right now. You must commit to not let the hurt, the incident, whatever happened, stand between you any longer. And again, I realize this many times can be just a one-way street. And it has to be because the other people on the other side that are coming the other direction, they're not on the same boat. They're not on this as far as the forgiveness side is concerned. But when I read Colossians and many other places, you are not to hold anything against anyone. So that's kind of inclusive, whether they come and ask you for forgiveness or not. And I know good people disagree on this, where people will take the position, well, you can't really forgive someone unless someone comes and asks you. And I disagree with that, because I read passages like Colossians and many others that says, whoever, don't hold it against them, forgive them, let it go. And so really, from my perspective, and again, it's just my viewpoint, don't let the fact that you, the person who has hurt you so bad has never come back and apologized, and so therefore you've never forgiven them, don't wait for that. And I could give you examples of people that I've had in counseling where, you know, they had the person, the offender, actually passed away. And it's not possible for the person to come back to life and ask for forgiveness. But I still think the person who was hurt is called to forgive. Because if you remain bitter and angry against a parent or some person in your life who hurt you long ago, you will not be in a place where God can be glorified through your life, because that bitterness and resentment, it will show up in other places. C.S. Lewis said, "To be Christian means to forgive the inexcusable, because God has forgiven the inexcusable in us." I would like to just shorten that. C.S. Lewis is right here, but to be Christian means to be forgiving. To be Christian means to be forgiving. We were doing some premarital counseling yesterday with a couple, and there was a little couple interview that the girl had with her parents, and it was just all asking all kinds of questions. And one of the questions was, "What piece of advice would you give us as we look to getting married?" And the mom wisely answered, "Learn to forgive. Learn to forgive." And really, that can be extended to every part of life. To be Christian means to be forgiving. Why? Because we, of all people, have been forgiven, and we are continually being forgiven by a gracious, merciful God. So we put on the heart of our gracious God, we imitate Him, we live like Him, even in our closest relationships that are most hurtful. We must be a forgiving people. So ask yourself, who in your life currently, who are you struggling to forgive? And you've been holding on to the resentment and the bitterness, that you're maybe at a breaking point. You're maybe at a point where it says, where you're, I hear the word of God. And that's why I just wanted to read those passages, because it's the word that changes people. And so you may be at a point where you're like, I need to do this. And let me encourage you, you have to do this. For your own spiritual well-being, you must forgive. This is not an option. To be Christian means to be forgiving, period. We enjoy the mercy of God. We must be willing to give out the mercy of God, even when we do not feel like it, even when we can come up with all kinds of excuses. We must do it, and it's a commitment that you're going to let it go. You're not going to bring it up to the person or to others. You're going to entrust it to the one who can take care of it. Romans chapter 12, as we close, it says, "Never pay back evil for evil to anyone." Passages like this, it leaves no room for excuses. Never pay back evil for evil to anyone. Verse 19, "Never take on your own revenge, beloved, but leave room for the wrath of God, for it is written, 'Vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord.' And if your enemy," in verse 20, "if your enemy is hungry, feed him. And if he is thirsty, give him a drink, for in doing so, you will heap burning coals on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good." And that is forgiveness. Overcome evil with good. So take the hurt, give it to the Lord, choose an act of your will to forgive the person. Make a commitment. You're not going to dwell on it. You're not going to talk about it to the person. You're not going to talk about it to anyone else. You're really going to let it go, and you're not going to hold it to their account. And model the love of God in our everyday relationships. And that's how God is calling us to live. As far as this area of conflict resolution, you have to resolve conflicts. As so much as it depends on you, live at peace with other people. And I know it's easy to sit here on a Sunday afternoon, early evening, and read this scripture and even, you know, say, yes, I agree, my heart's there and I want to do it. But then tomorrow comes and the feelings are different. And that's where the truth has to guide us, and the truth has to be what anchors our heart, and we must be committed to live out the truth. And so forgive. Do it over and over and over and over again. No matter what, be like Jesus. Keep forgiving. To be Christian means to be forgiving. Let's pray. God, would you please help us as your people? Painful experiences are all around us. They happen to us throughout the day, throughout the weeks, throughout the years. Lord, the evil one wants us to hold on to those experiences and those hurts. He wants us to be angry and bitter and hold resentment. But God, you set an example that is far different. You don't hold our sins against us, or you don't bring up our sins to our account. But Lord, you model such love and mercy and grace that we can daily come to you for forgiveness, and you grant it freely. God, help us to be like you. Lord, help us to put away the remnants of our old man that loves revenge, loves to be angry, and loves to hold on to things. God, I pray that we'd be faithful. Lord, help us to make commitments in our hearts to forgive and hold to them. And Lord, help us not to rely on anything but your truth to guide us and be the thing that we're committed to as far as living out. God, we want to glorify you in our everyday lives. Life is to be for your glory. And so please help us in these very important moments to forgive and really bring you glory. In your holy and precious name, I pray. Amen.